Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello everyone. It's Becky Brown in for Steve Arterburn, and we are so glad you joined us today. And by we, I mean Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. Hi, everybody in California.
Hey, we're here.
We're here. I think we're here. So yes.
You know, one of the things that is the three hallmarks of New Life are truth, transformation, and connection, or redemptive relationships. And you know, in this world of, you know, we've got connection every which way, right? We're all on social media, we are connected by our phones, but we're actually not connecting like we used to or we need to, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we talk about redemptive relationships, you know, what do you think are the hallmarks of authentic connection? And what would that look like for somebody to have an authentic connection?
Well, I think it... It's funny that you mention this, because when this airs, I will be heading up to Colorado to lead a fly fishing event for men. And really, let me be honest, fly fishing is an excuse to get them to open up and talk about what's happening on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't let them know, right?
Yes. And casting off their burdens, yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. You know, a lot of catch and release. But with that said, for us. I'm going to talk to men right now. We weren't taught typically in our homes or in our society or culture that what is happening on the inside of us mm-hmm. is affecting every part of us. And that what happens on the inside is there so that we can connect to other people. Mm-hmm. And that things that are undealt with on the inside will deal with us, and that typically won't be a good thing.
Wow.
By simply getting it out of ourselves, mm-hmm. offloading it, when we talk about transparency, when we talk about vulnerability, what that really is just being aware of what's happening on the inside. I call it our AID, our AID. We need to be aware of what's happening on the inside, then we need to learn to identify what it is, and then we need to disclose it.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, it sort of cleans out the inside and allows us to show up better to ourselves, to other people. And I can't tell you how many times that I've had a conversation with someone where I'm wrapped around the axle of anxiety and I get it outside of myself, and someone gives me, you know, one of my friends gives me great feedback, and I'm like, oh, one, I feel better. I'm not wrapped around the axle, and I'm more clear-minded to do the next best step.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
absolutely,
love that.
Right? You don't want that stuff fermenting inside of you.
Yes.
Because when it comes to us people, it's not a good thing.
Yes.
Right, to have it stuck in there. But I think this idea of allowing yourself to be known mm-hmm. and to know.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And that's how we reduce shame in our mm-hmm. lives, right?
Number one way.
We bring shame into relationship and we let ourselves be known. And so we need relationships where that can happen,
mm-hmm.
where you feel the freedom or you're willing to take the risk to be known.
Yes.
And sometimes, I mean, most of the time it happens a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, other person is receptive in allowing themselves to be known as
yes.
well.
It's so great. And, you know, we have just the thing for you. If you want to learn how to do exactly what Chris and Jill are talking about, we have life recovery groups. We have them all over the country. And actually, we have them all over the world. I spoke with somebody the other day who is in a life recovery group online and joins in from the Arctic Circle.
Yes.
Now listen, there is
wow.
that's a woman
that
who is
so
really
cool.
willing to do, I know, right? But it's amazing. She recognizes the need to be connected and was not going to let living on top of the world to keep
probably
her from joining the group.
Probably not a lot of resources there, yeah. I would imagine. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. But we have them. So we're so excited to offer this and know that it can be a really great way for you to get connected. So if you want to get connected in a life recovery group, let us know. We're going to go to your calls. We're going to talk to Michelle after this. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I also want to mention that we are still having a sale on our Illumina event. It's a women's event for women who want to be involved more with the Word and have an amazing experience with speakers like Nicole C. Mullen and Jen Wilkins and Lauren McAfee. I just think that you're going to be encouraged in your faith, and you got to bring a friend. So we've got to bring a friend, limited time offer for two tickets, and they're only $69 each when you buy two. So this offer ends tomorrow, Friday, so we want you to be part of that. But right now, we are going to talk with Michelle, who's calling us from Bismarck, North Dakota, listens on KNDR. We're so glad you called, Michelle. How can we help you?
Thanks for taking my call. I have been a Christian for 29 years and have loved the Lord with all my heart and served Him and been very involved in my church and had a great church family. And about 5 years ago, I had a situation with my pastor that he was very headstrong and stubborn. And he didn't really listen to me and my concerns with different things that were going on in our church or just different, you know, situations. And he was unkind to our former pastors. And I just really got to a point where I felt like I need to leave. And so I left that church. I'd been there for 20 some years. But when I left, there was like a switch in my heart that shut off. And I just was turned off to like religion, not God, but just religion and Christian people. And I just kind of checked out, and I have not been able to get back to where I was. And I'm back to smoking and drinking, and I've even started gambling a little bit. I still try to attend church and read my Bible, and I just feel stuck.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. I've gone to some counseling. I have a wonderful pastor now. I don't know. I had just...
Well, we're so glad you called.
That switch.
We're glad you called, Michelle. Let's hear, I think, Chris, you and Jill have something to say about this.
Well, and Michelle, so you were extremely hurt, right? And one of the things we have to always remember is the church is run by very imperfect people, and pastors have their own issues, and if they don't have accountability and aren't doing their own relational work, things can get stirred up. In his stubbornness, there's could be a lot going on with that, but sometimes it's as we grow up in the church, we at a certain point lose our sense of innocence, right? That we can still have problems in relationship, and there can be unhealthiness, and it can be like a dysfunctional family. And so I'm wondering too, for you, I've seen so many people go from a family situation and feel like, okay, now the church is my family, and this is the family that's going to do no wrong and always be healthy and handle everything in the right way, only to have a situation replicated, which sends us into more of a trauma place, right, with the repetition. And I think there's evidence of that, and you suddenly going into all these behaviors, right, when people let you down.
Yeah, that switch, I'd like to have you in my office, because we would explore and get very, very curious about that switch. Where has that switch shown up?
I wish I could switch it back.
That's the thing, but I want you to know that switch was a coping mechanism, and I'll bet you that wasn't the first time that that happened.
No.
Right?
It was probably two other times in my life, when my mom died and when me and my husband had some major marriage issues.
Yes.
But somehow God brought me back.
Yeah. So
that's why I'm concerned. But coming back.
Sure, but Michelle, there's a reason for that. Okay, so that's what we want to get to. Because that switch turned the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, nope, it's too dangerous to turn the lights on because I'm seeing too many painful, disappointing things.
Mm. Yes.
And mm-hmm. so the work then now is to go in and turn the lights on with a safe person that can guide you step by step into healing out those dark spots so you can keep the lights on, or those painful spots so you can keep the lights on. And when you start feeling the switch, when the switch is coming, you can say, oh, where do I need to go? Maybe they need to be dimmed for a while, but where do I go to help me work through this thing so I can keep my lights on?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the dark that the smoking and the drinking and the gambling make sense. But they will not make sense in the light.
Now, Chris and Joe, where do you...
I'm watching a movie of myself.
Right. Michelle, Chris and Jill, I want you guys to talk about the grief that comes with that switch. Because she just delineated a couple of different things. So where would that fit in with the healing process?
Well, when things aren't as we had hoped, or when we have new realization, we have to grieve the loss of what we thought was.
That's good.
Or the loss of our idealism, right? Or the loss of what we thought we were putting our hope in. And sometimes as Christians, our faith, yes, it's in the Lord, but it kind of comes as a package deal. And our faith is also in our, as I mentioned earlier, our new community, right? And sometimes those kind of get merged together. And that isn't where we need to put our hope, right? We can get a lot of good from our church family and community, but our hope is always in Christ.
Yes.
Right, and so this
one
is
thing though, yeah.
So grieving that loss. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say that one of the things the Lord recently showed me is that my spirit was broken.
Yes.
And that I haven't been able to get out of that, and it's not like a broken, contrite spirit. It's more like I'm just broke.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I can't get back to. And I had that happen when I was 17 with my earthly father, who I love dearly, and we've healed a lot of things, but I felt that same switch, like, I don't care anymore, I give up, this is done, and I'm moving on. And God showed me that about 3 months ago, that I have a broken spirit like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Michelle, and to that point, because you're right there, you're all on it, and the next step is now you need to get into a place where we started the show. Of a safe connection, a good therapist, a really good therapist to help you walk through those spots to heal.
Right, because you just said it. You had this with your earthly father, right? Well, pastors become like an all-good father.
Yes.
In our lives, right? And so then he did the same thing to you, maybe differently, right? It's not packaged the same, but that same type of relationship where you looked up to him and he let you down in a big way. Mm-hmm. And there's something about when we've been through something the first time and we finally get through it, but then when it happens again, it's like, oh no, not again, because we know the pain
and
that's
there's
associated
some, there's
with it.
There's something in our body that we're not always in control of.
That's
that,
very
that
true.
That makes a commitment, a covenant to ourselves in our trauma that says never again.
Yep.
And so that's where things start shutting down.
Well, and to your point, Michelle, about going back to smoking and drinking and gambling, those are vices that we use to numb out. And so it makes sense that all of these things are kind of connected. You know, I want to encourage you, we're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. And I think that'll be a good process to get into in this healing. But I would encourage you to join us at our Repurpose Life Conference and to get a fresh start. It's just online, and it's going to be September 24th. Chris is going to be speaking. I'll speak, Steve and Misty. But, you know, we just want to encourage you. I'm glad you called. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have experienced brokenness as a result of church life.
Okay, so can I just do a plug for something that's not a new life
Yes.
Okay.
Depends, Jill. No, I'm
Michelle, if you have not watched The Chosen, I would recommend that, because what Mary goes through in the second season, I think you might identify with.
It's a TV series, right? There's an app that goes with it.
Yeah. So it's a streaming platform. Yeah. So, you know, ask other people. They can tell you how to.
Yeah. I've heard lots of great things.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, too, Jill, because sometimes the story can help us process, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
so we can see that in somebody else's. And we're encouraged that you are reaching out for help, Michelle, because a lot of times when people, you know, feel that switch, they just shut it off and they're done. And so we're glad that you're still asking, and we want to be there for you.
And Becky,
go ahead,
can I
Chris.
Jump in? Because I think that this is really important. There's a lot of church hurt out there.
Yep.
There is a lot. And part of, I think, the thing that we're struggling with as well is that other church hurts get the news. They find the Twitter feeds. They find the social media platforms. They find the podcast. They find all of these things. And so what that does is that can feed, and I'm not saying inaccurate. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We need to expose this hurt and painful experiences. But where that can be damaging to our faith is we're not hearing the good stories. Mm-hmm. We're not hearing the right. So if we do become disillusioned with our faith, if we do become disillusioned with the church, oftentimes for very good reason because of our pain, then it's important that we also seek the good out there. We try to reconnect this. Like, man, no, God is still working his grace. God is still working his redemption. God is still working his plan out in people's lives in remarkable ways. We're just not connecting to those stories. Mm-hmm. And so we need to live and tell better stories and expose ourselves to the God stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. Thank you, Chris. And I do want to encourage anybody who's going through that, they might give us a call. We can connect you with a life recovery group somewhere that can help you begin that process of healing. Jill, you sound like you're going to say one more
thing. Well, I just realized, just in case people aren't aware of what The Chosen is, it's about Jesus through the eyes of the disciples that were chosen. So it's a series on that.
Great. All right, now we're going to go to Tricia. She's calling from Philadelphia, listens on WFIL. Hi, Tricia. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you so very much. I really admire your problem and your dedication. I've been struggling for months over making a decision about whether to stay at home or whether to go into assisted living for myself. And I have talked with pastors. I've had friends of mine pray for countless hours. And I just have no peace. My family wants me to stay at home, but they want to do the necessary work to make sure I have my medications or I get to the doctors in time. Or anything, and so everything's been kind of really haphazard. And on the other hand, I couldn't afford assisted living until recently, and I came into some money. Well, now I can finally go if I want to go, but my family just putting all these guilt trips on me and just, you know, you don't love me, if you love me, blah, blah, blah. And I am just, I want to make a God-honoring decision, but every time I make a decision, it feels like it's wrong, and then I feel like maybe I should wait even longer till I hear from the Lord.
Trish, really quickly, who is saying these conditional love things to you?
Yeah, like who love them because you want to take care of yourself?
Like, I want to know who is saying that to you. Not names, but like, who are the people in your life?
My husband and my son.
Okay.
Who lives with me.
And how old is your son?
27.
Okay.
And he lives with you, and your husband lives with you?
Yes, and the girlfriend lives with me.
The son's girlfriend?
Son's girlfriend.
Okay. Well, I wonder if they're feeling like you would be abandoning them.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they'd have to face a loss, a real loss there, you know? And so what their maybe protest is painfully coming out as is, you know, hey, if you loved us, you wouldn't cause this pain. But the loss that you've been experiencing, that they've been experiencing through what you're going through is real. And there's ways to face that together. There's ways to encounter that together if they're willing to do that. So, Trish, Tricia, you're hearing the music. We're going to go to a break here real quick. Again, thank you for calling in. We're going to get back to this, and because these are really, really, really tough decisions.
Yeah, that is a tough decision.
Well, so, and there's always some different side, and mm-hmm. I've never heard somebody who wants to take care of themselves get judged for that. So that's an interesting point. Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're here with us. We are talking with Tricia, and she's got a challenge at home. She's got some health issues and wants to make some decisions that her family isn't in agreement with and is putting her on a guilt trip. Chris or Jill,
I just have a couple questions, Tricia.
Sure.
One, how old are you, and what is your health issue?
I'm 61. I have Parkinson's, and I'm disabled.
Okay. Can you walk around or no?
Yeah, I can use a walker or a cane. I'm just very, very slow.
Okay.
But I can, yes.
Okay. And have you guys done any other kinds of ways of meeting your needs? Have you had, like, somebody, you know, a home health care person come and help with things?
We just started to do that, and it is very, very helpful. We need a whole lot more care.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay up, do the work, if they're going to take off. Well, they're not really going to take off because I support them, I guess, but there's always the hope.
I hear what your challenge with Tricia. It is hard to get good help, and it's hard to get steady help, no matter what field of service that they're in. And I want you to know I wanted to know if you really had personal help with the diagnosis of Parkinson's. You know, a lot of times a diagnosis like that can feel devastating, and it's important to know that you have people that can help you, resources that can kind of direct you, and I just wondered if you have that kind of support.
So I've got Richard J. Fox, but I don't drive anymore, and so I'm not getting to the meetings and things.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have online resources, like online meetings?
Oh, they have online. They don't have online meetings, but they have online resources. They have lots of them.
They're okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about, you know, going into assisted living and leaving your husband and son at home? I wonder if they almost feel like you're leaving the marriage.
Well, yeah, because we've been together almost 40 years.
Yes.
And,
do you think they're reacting to that?
I absolutely do, but I can't manage their feelings. I can't even manage my own.
Okay.
That sounds, Tricia, really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of this is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and then I stop making decisions, and things get really, really crazy.
Yeah.
And perhaps they're not facing some of the realities that you are having to deal with. You know, family members often go into denial about things.
And that can create a paralysis of decision-making.
Yes, absolutely.
Typically what we do in these really threatening situations is one of two things. Some of us, the fancy term is go hyper-arousal, meaning
yes.
we ramp up, you know.
Right.
The rest of us, like myself, under extreme circumstances, we go hypoarousal, which means we shut down. And it sounds like everyone is starting to shut down. And so, Tricia, I would recommend maybe bringing in a support counselor to talk about what's happening in the home, what's happening with relationships, including all of the decisions that need to be made around your medical needs.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good idea.
And I think that because I think if we can create solutions for everyone there to kind of keep the family intact, that would be great. Obviously, if that's not possible, if you absolutely need an inpatient facility, you'd go with that, you know. But I just think that there's more solutions. But I think maybe as big of a problem as your or big of a need as your medical situation is, it's also the relationships there in the home.
And I think that's a great idea, Chris, too, because that person would be an objective alliance,
right.
You know, for
so
the whole family.
Social worker.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An advocate for you.
Go ahead, Trish.
Where do you find a group like that, of a team of specialists?
I would probably start with a Parkinson's, mm-hmm. well, you don't, you create a team, but I would start with a local Parkinson's support group. And I would, you know, just see what, and also a counselor could actually be helpful. Uh-huh. You know, it doesn't have to be somebody who's necessarily going to plug you into resources, but literally just facilitate a way for the family to come together about this really important decision, you know, especially because it's not going to be just one day. It's for the rest of your life, and you need to feel that support.
Right.
Go ahead, Jill.
Through doctors. Mm-hmm. You can ask your doctor. They often have supports. Yes, the Parkinson's Association.
Hospitals do as well.
Hospitals have supports.
Yeah.
The assisted living place may have supports. But someone, an advocate, a counselor, a social worker that can come in and help you with all the pieces and just help you all talk it through.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Well, we hope that that will be of help to you and your family. Trisha, we'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, because I think that could be helpful in this case, that as you go through this process, I know Parkinson's can be a devastating diagnosis, but it doesn't have to be one that tears apart the family. We want to give you some support so that you guys can keep the support that you have built in, right? You know, we just need each other. We talked about this at the beginning of the program today about the power of connection. And especially in times of deep need, when you have these diagnoses that are life-altering. And we want to get you connected. So if you have an issue, you can give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. If we can get you connected with a counselor or a coach in your area, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And of course, at newlife.com, we've got lots of great resources. We've got information about all of our intensive workshops that we do. We want to help you get through these difficulties so that your life can be the best that it can possibly be. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad that you've joined us. We're so grateful for connections with so many people. And just recently, Steve had a conversation with Max Licato. Max Licato just released his latest book, Help Is Here, Finding Fresh Strength and Purpose in the Power of the Holy Spirit. And we are so excited to just let you know that we've got copies of that you can purchase. But let's listen to hear this conversation with Steve and Max.
Max, how does the Holy Spirit help us with not just the strength part, but the purpose part?
We find our purpose. The Holy Spirit helps us find our purpose by identifying the unique reason that we are on this earth. Yeah. When you say yes to Christ, as we said earlier, Christ says yes to you, and He moves into your heart in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And He brings with Him certain abilities. And these abilities, according to the Bible, are distributed by the Holy Spirit according to His will. I really believe that where we live and how we serve where we live is sovereignly ordained by God. That God gives us the location, the assignment in life, whether it be Minneapolis or Los Angeles or Long Beach or San Antonio or New York City. We may think we got transferred to that place by a company, but if we're, you know, full of the Spirit and following God, it's God who sends us to these places.
Yeah.
And then he gives us exactly what we need to fulfill the assignment. God loves us too much to give us an assignment and not the equipment with which to fulfill it. So we can find our purpose in examining our strengths that the Holy Spirit has given us. Mm-hmm. One of the simplest ways to do this, Stephen, I think, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, is ask yourself the question, what do you love to do, and what do people love for you to do? At the intersection of the answer of those two questions is most likely a description of your purpose in life.
Yeah.
You know, I love to sing, Steve. I really love it. But I have never, ever been asked to sing, ever, in my whole life.
Yeah.
If I've been told to sing not so loudly, please. But I've never been. So I can say I love to sing, but nobody's ever asked me to. So that's a pretty good indication. My purpose on earth is not to sing to people.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I love to preach, and I really do get asked to preach a lot. And so for those, it's not something I ever created. It's just at the intersection of what I love to do and what people love for me to do. And I believe the answer that every person can answer that question and find a deeper sense of purpose for their life.
Well, I love this equation. What do you love to do? And what do people love you doing? You know, mm-hmm. John Bassanio in Houston, when I was in high school, I was head of the assembly committee, and I went out to his car, and this big man steps out onto the curb. He's about 3 feet taller than me, and he looks down at me, and he said, "Son, I just have to tell you, the Holy Spirit is telling me you're going to be a preacher." And I said, "Well, you know, I sing. That's what I do. I sing solo. So maybe you're." He goes, "No. You're going to be a preacher." I think that was the Holy Spirit getting me ready for something that people that I love to do, and people have said they love to hear me preach. I think the Holy Spirit is weaving supernaturally in and out of our lives, and we don't recognize it. So, what is the posture that a person should take or could take to experience more of what the Holy Spirit has to offer?
I think childlike humility is really the soil out of which the fruit of the Holy Spirit can grow. You and I have been around the block enough to see really some abuses of the teachings of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, right.
And that turns people off. You know, on one hand, you have people who, well, they act like they have a backstage pass to the Holy Spirit, and they're buddy-buddy with the Holy Spirit, and their whole ministry or their whole reason for living is to, you know, tell us how they have access to the Spirit more than you do, you know. And, and so they brag, and they talk about their mystical abilities. Well, that doesn't help. Then on the other extreme is that group of people who feel like they're the police, whose assignment is to clamp down or shut down any type of expression of the Holy Spirit. A lady told me just earlier today, she said, you know, when I sense the Holy Spirit moving in my life, I actually feel my body get warm. She said, "Is that crazy?" I said, "That's not up to me to say. I mean, the Holy Spirit is far beyond anything that we can comprehend. Now, he'll never violate his word. He speaks to us through the verse. He also speaks to us through the voice. And sometimes that voice might be a manifestation of a thought in my head.
Right.
For her, I think she was very sincere. She wasn't trying to show off. It was a very private, personal question. And she just said, I get this kind of warmth in my arm when I sense the Lord directing me. I said, that's between you and God. That's between you and God. I'm not about to tell you what's not, used by the Holy Spirit. So let's avoid those two extremes. Let's avoid the extreme that says, I'm going to clamp down on anything that's not my experience, but let's also avoid show off. Somewhere in between, there is that honest, sincere disciple. She's open to Scripture. He's open to the Lord. And both are on their knees, and they have that childlike spirit that says, I receive every gift that you want to give, all to your glory. And I believe if we can remain in that posture, Stephen, the church is going to enjoy a new season.
Wow, that is really powerful, isn't it? When we speak about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit affects us and moves in us, it's really powerful. I want to encourage you all to get a copy of Max Licato's book, and you can get that from New Life at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We appreciate the power of the Holy Spirit working through those of you who are giving to New Life. We really couldn't do what we are doing without that prompting and your faithful giving to the ministry. Whether it is part of Club New Life, our monthly donors, or those of you who give from time to time, it really has made a difference in the lives of so many people. We're able to continue to do what we do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just this past weekend, I spoke with one of our alumni from Every Man's Battle, and he told me that he loves to give to New Life because he feels privileged to give back for all that we have been able to help him with through his work through Every Man's Battle and then the Sustained Victory. And he just feels like for all he has received, he wants to make sure that the ministry continues in the future, and that's why he gives. So, I just appreciate hearing those testimonies of life change, and you are part of that. Thank you so much.
Right? Well, and I think that, Becky, this is where this intersects, because I was actually thinking about those two postures to avoid. Mm-hmm. Because the policeman or policewoman, the spiritual police person, they're driven by fear, mm-hmm. right? Because control is on the other side of that. And how many times it was like, is God telling us, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And the other one is, I really do believe that the show-off is driven by shame. Mm-hmm. Look at me, look at me, look at me, because no one else will. I'm special, yeah.
Right.
And so when the work and the partnership that we do with wonderful voices like Max Lucado really do work in unison, because mm-hmm. the more that we work through our shame and our fears and our control issues, the more that we allow, again, our insides to be porous mm-hmm. to God's presence, to the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, to work in and through us. It's why I say this all the time. The Gospel of Luke's Gospel says that Jesus has come, and the way he shows that is through healing and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Those two things happen in lockstep with each other in that gospel. So that's what we're here for. Please join us in doing that. Mm-hmm. Your contributions help tremendously so that more people can feel and experience and live out the fullness of God in their lives.
Right. And so we feel that nudging, right?
Yes.
At times from the Holy Spirit to give as well. And so we all need to listen to that. And all of us are here mm-hmm. because God put us here.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
And you know what? The two of you, your voices have helped me, helped so many people. So you're right. It's all of us together.
That's right.
We'll be right back. We got one more call, and we'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I hope that something you've heard today already has been encouraging. That's what we're all about. We want to keep encouraging people. And right now we're going to take our call from Jay, who's calling us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and watches us on YouTube. Hi, Jay. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Hi. I pretty much had a not so much of a falling out, but kind of more of a creating space with my childhood best friend, who I'd been friends with for like 11 or 12 years. And there were kind of a lot of toxic habits that were happening on her part. And she had kind of started to like distance herself from our friendship and hang out with kind of a different crowd that I don't really necessarily want to hang out with. And and back in this spring, we kind of had a conversation where I just had a really honest conversation with her, and I said, "Hey, I honestly don't recognize you right now. Like, you haven't been as open with me. I actually recently got engaged, and I'm getting married in a few months. And she didn't make any effort to. I had reached out to her several times about, you know, getting together with him so she could just meet him, and she just had expressed that she didn't like him, but that she would support me whatever I chose, things like that. And it's been kind of a sore spot, I think, for me, just grieving the kind of the loss of their relationship. But my question is really wondering if I should try to reach out and reconcile, or if I should just kind of leave it as it is.
Okay, that's a great question. All right, Chris or Jill, who wants to start?
Well, I think here's where I'll start with this, and it is these heartbreaks that we go through in life. And it's not always heartbreaking, but most friendships throughout our lives are seasonal. There's some of us who are really fortunate to have lifelong friends, and that's really great. But I think in our modern world and moves and lives and busyness and all of that, is that, again, these things are seasonal. And some friends, you know, fade in and fade out, and that's all okay, and that's all natural and normal. There's other times where friendships fade out or end, and it's painful and it's a loss. And so, but I want to start there, Jay, because what you're going through is not abnormal. It's not unique to you.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think there's different stages of life. And sometimes we are, like a childhood friend, obviously revolved around your childhood. Mm-hmm. And then as you guys get older and you start to branch out in different ways, you may be less like-minded or less focused in the same areas than you once were. And sometimes there's this trying to hold on to something that is naturally moving away from each other a little bit, right? And speaking to the seasonal thing, later in life, I mean, friendships come back around.
Some of
those, based on those early bonds, do come back around after people have worked through their stuff.
Yes.
But Jay, I really want to commend you on saying to your friend, I don't recognize you right now.
Yeah.
Like, what's changed? What's going on? And so it sounds like the falling out is that she wasn't able to be open with you or allow herself to be known. So she's choosing to distance herself. And that may, you know, you're about to be engaged. It sounds like maybe there's good things happening in your life. I don't know what's happening in her life or what is coming up in adult, you know, young adulthood that is troubling to her, that she's having to negotiate. And so I think it's always, we can always invite people into relationship. Mm-hmm. You did that. You know, you could try again to invite her into relationship, but I think loving her where she's at and grieving that she's not the same friend or the same type of friend you once had, but so, kind of keeping her in that historical context.
Yeah. Could it be, Jay, that she might be feeling left out because you're engaged now, that the, you know, the relationship changes? You know, sometimes that can change the way that we feel in the relationship, that she may have some jealousy or envy. I'm not saying that, but I just wonder if that could be true.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, if especially
I'm not sure. I tried to kind of address that too, and she just wasn't very open with me, was the thing. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna, you know, force something out of you, but you know, if there's a deeper thing going on, I hope you're able to figure that out, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and have you asked her if you've hurt her in any way? Is there something?
Yeah, and she said, she was like, no, we just, you know, we just hang out in different circles. Like, nothing's wrong.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, okay, our relationship has been very off for the past 8 months. So if you feel like nothing's wrong, then it's, you know, it's just one of those kind of things where it was like, okay.
Yeah, it's hurtful.
Well,
yeah,
it's very hurtful. It's very hurtful because she's not willing to tell you why. And it may be, too, either, like I said, she's having a hard time with her feelings towards your life going in a certain way, or maybe her life is going in a way, or she's gotten involved in things that she knows you wouldn't agree with.
Right. And, you know, I think there's one of our fabulous co-workers always says it's important to have a good goodbye. And so that if somewhere down the road there is a reconnection, you don't have this resentment, Jay, and that you do the best for your side of the street in order to leave that door open and just accept that distance and grieve it. Be sad because, you know, things change, but you never know where that might come in again. And, I mean, you live long enough, that's, you know, you're going to go through those kind of things. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with this relationship that has changed so dramatically?
Well, and especially when you're engaged, because this is where you pick people to be in your wedding that have kind of been representative of your life. And so I can see how that would be a dilemma for you. Do you include her for historical sake? And she's even voicing she doesn't really care for the guy you're marrying, right? But do so. I don't know if you're struggling with that.
I kind of already made my mind up about that one.
Okay.
You know, because I really want people who are going to love and support our relationship, you know, past the wedding and all of that.
Yes.
So she's not going to, then she doesn't get to play a special role, a place of honor anyway. But, Becky, what you said about having a good goodbye, what does that kind of look like? Because I think that may be where I'm struggling with, because the way that we kind of left things was just, we just kind of left things and created space. It wasn't necessarily a formal, I don't know, I guess there wasn't necessarily closure in a formal way. And so I kind of wonder if, you know, and if I should reach out in a way of saying, hey, I just want to let you know, like, you know, I love you. I don't know. Like,
yeah, you can, yeah, that a good goodbye is all of those things. It could be a card. It could be one more cup of coffee where you just kind of turn the volume down a little bit, turn the temperature down a little bit. Right now, it's at a real crisis moment because you're feeling the separation and she feels like she's just disconnected without even caring. Yeah, she has. And so that for you, Jay, I think the importance is how would you want to leave it? You know, and it could be if you guys are in close proximity with each other that you have a quick cup of coffee and just, you know, just try to, you know, back off a little bit to stay some, you know, to celebrate those connections, but don't go away mad.
And, right. You might have to name that you guys are in different places right now, and that's okay. You'll always be special to each other. But you understand and will respect her need to not be as close.
That's right. We're so glad you called, Jay, and we're glad for you listening, and we're hopeful for your life to be good.
Thanks
and we'll
listening.
See you next time.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.